Matt Devlin, one of the most Natalie sartorially splendiferous gentlemen that I know, was courtside calling the game. And Matt, before we talk about the actual game, you had Drake on the air with you, but he came on after he did the national TV broadcast, if I'm not mistaken. And that, to me, that's, you know,
I'm good with it, Joey. He goes down, he does ESPN. We've had him before, obviously.
Of course you have.
And I'm good. I'm all good. In fact, I didn't even know he was going to join us all of a sudden. They said, hey, you know, Drake's coming out. I said, that's awesome. Yeah, we've told him before, anytime you want to jump on, jump on. And you know what? We had a lot of fun with him. And he is a genuine fan, and he absolutely loves the Raptors. And
he loves the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Cavaliers. And he loves about six or seven teams.
He's
a Raptor guy. I know he is. He's just boys with so many guys in the NBA, right?
It's just like you.
Wow.
Look, I've seen you in L.A. operate. I've seen you operate in L.A. I mean, you know everybody in town.
Well, when you're not married, you have no kids, no ex-wives. You got a lot of time on your hands, Debbie. It is what it is. People are like, man, you're kind of all over the place. You know what? I don't have any. I've never been married. Never lived with anybody.
Who do you not know in L.A.?
Who do I not know in L.A.?
Exactly. See, it's
wow, it's a tough question.
That is a tough question. That's really what I'm saying. It's like, you know.
Drake downplayed Drake Night, which is cool. It's funny because last year, the first night of Drake Night last year, I think the team was just a little bit under 500, didn't really have, you know, the identity that they developed later on in the season and, of course, as they rolled into the playoffs. And so Drake Night last year was kind of a marketing tactic for the team, right? Let's get some people in here. Let's create a vibe. Let's create a buzz. And then we know what happened with the actual team. And then last night, you know, Drake says, tonight's my name's attached to it, but it's really not about me at all. And I've got to say, I was at the game last night. I got to agree with him. And, you know, they obviously showing his images, it goes without saying that, you know, the Raptor was dressed with the backwards cap, like acting like a rapper. He was wearing the OVO jacket and all that. But it was almost like they don't need it, right? And not to say that they don't like it. The players love the guy. We know that with the Brooklyn had to be up a little bit more for that game. We know the Raptors were up for that game. But it's funny, but it's so cool to see this team has come so far in such a short period of time. And I think last night was a good benchmark.
Well, look, they have. And from a fan base standpoint, I've said it so many times, you know, the fan base is outstanding. And, you know, that certainly can be traced back to even this past Monday against Orlando, when the Raptors had a sellout. And then last night they have a standing room only crowd, and they're sixth in the NBA in attendance. And, you know, having Drake there last night, while it's, you know, it is Drake Night, and as he said, hey, it's not about him. You know, it is great having him around, and you could just see the energy in the building and the people that obviously absolutely love being associated with that. And also being associated with the Raptors and the way that they're playing, and they're 20-6. And it's just, you know, the connection between Drake and the Raptors is great. And, you know, the game ends and half the Brooklyn team's walking by him and, you know, talking to him as well. And as Amir Johnson said to me, you know, when all this was, you know, transpiring and he was named global ambassador, you know, we were talking about, you know, Drake and his involvement. And he said, look, it's going to have an impact. He said, it's going to have an impact. People around the league, the young players in the league, are going to talk about it very much like, you know, Brooklyn with Jay-Z and that Jay-Z effect. And while Jay-Z's ownership, he doesn't own it anymore because he's now an agent. You can't, you know, have that. And he had a small percentage, less than 1% of the team. But what was great about it was that they allowed him to put his touch on it. And by doing that, they have a, you know, unbelievable arena that has a great feel to it, and people resonate with the uniforms and all that. And I think, you know, with Drake, you know, that's going on as well, that, you know, he does understand. He is a smart, you know, man, and he understands exactly what's going to resonate, you know, with, you know, the people. And so because of that, you know, I think last night's a great night. I really do. And it's a great night all the way around. And the way that they played basketball in the second half was certainly indicative of that.
And look, this team, Brooklyn is nothing like the team last year.
No.
We know that they, you know, look, Garnett was hurt. Lopez, who's perpetually hurt. I'd take Johnson on my team last any time. You know, Mason Plumlee's had a pretty good season.
Yeah, I like Plumlee.
You know, look,
you're exactly right. Two teams headed in opposite directions. They went all in, including the tax. $197 million was spent last year with Brooklyn. And while we've seen it in history where you can, quote unquote, try to buy a championship, and the Florida Marlins back in the day, certainly, you know, people, you know, would point to that. I don't know if there's a hockey analogy for that or a comparison, but it's
yes, the Toronto Maple Leafs pre-salary cap.
Yeah, well,
they didn't win, by the way. They just spent.
Well, there you go. So, and it's hard. I mean, I know Peter Angelos in baseball tried to do with the Baltimore going up against the Yankees. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do, and you have to have a foundation, and then from with that foundation, that core, you got to build out. And, you know, that's something that, you know, the Toronto Raptors are doing right now. They're headed in the complete opposite direction of Brooklyn. And, you know, Kevin Garnett, you know, they're resting him quite a bit. He's 38 years of age. Darren Williams is owed a lot of money. Joe Johnson's owed a lot of money. And I think if they could start to get out of those contracts, they would. But, you know, what's the marketplace for Darren Williams? You know, what's the marketplace for Joe Johnson right now? It'll be interesting to see kind of how all that plays out, but definitely headed in different directions.
Hey, I'd take Joe Johnson in a Raptor uniform.
Would you? I don't know.
I would. I would.
At the three?
Yeah, I'd take him in the three hole.
For $20-plus million?
Yeah, I mean, listen, money notwithstanding. Let's say you're definitely right when it comes to, you know, dollar allocation. Definitely an overpayment. They put themselves in a hole. Prokhorov spent his money, paid his tax, and now, you know what? The chickens are coming home to roost, and it looks good on him. And as a Raptor fan, you got to be real happy, because when you look at Patrick Patterson, I think, was, you know, he basically said, I woke up on Wednesday morning, and all I could think about was this game, right? That game seven was definitely on my mind from the time I woke up this morning to even now. He said that yesterday. I'm definitely happy that we went out there and won the game. It was a bit of revenge in my eyes. And you know what I like the most about that comment? They didn't say anything before the game. They said it after.
Yeah. Well, it's been, is it ultimately revenge? No, because it's a regular season game, but you know, it's a point. And it's, the point is that, look at, you did this to us during the playoffs and we feel like we owe you. And the next time we play you, we feel like you know, we owe you. And I think that's a great mentality to have, because you have to have that throughout the course of the regular season. And here they are, 7-3, Joey, without DeMar DeRozan. And things are going to start to get tough. Yes, you go to Detroit, you come home, you play New York. But then on the second day of a back-to-back, you're going to have Chicago. And then you head out west, and, you know, the winning record, you know, combined percentage-wise of the teams that you're going to play out there, you know, is right around 67-68%. And so, you know, you want to build a cushion. You want to be 20-6. You have Washington on your heels. You head out on, you know, the World Junior Tour. And, you know, when you come back, it's going to be January 6th, January 7th. And so you have to take care of business while you can against, you know, the teams that are in front of you, especially without your all-star.
And you say, you talk about going out west. Look, you're gonna have to play Golden State, you said,
Clippers,
Chicago,
Portland.
Yeah, you got some teams, and this fan base, I think, really relishes the Raptors having litmus tests, right? And going to play the Clippers on the 27th. You know, Denver's not a good team, but like you said, Portland at 20-6. Then you got to travel to Golden State. You're playing them at 21-13. You got to go to Phoenix. They're 13-14, and then you're back at home finally, January the 8th, when Charlotte heads to town, which I think some people are targeting for the return of DeMar DeRozan. I know it's a little bit far out, but no one's talking about missing DeMar DeRozan, which I think is pretty incredible and something that we should talk about. Would you ever have thought that this team would have the depth where you wouldn't, and I'm not saying they don't miss him, because the guy's a fantastic basketball player, you know, arguably, you know, 1 and 1A with Kyle Lowry on this team, but I don't hear anybody, and I'm talking fan chatter, I'm talking, no one's saying, when's DeMar coming back? We need him back. It's amazing to have that luxury.
It is amazing. A couple of points. You know, first, the what I would call the easy point would be you're going to need him against Chicago. You needed him against Cleveland. You're going to need him out on that West Coast trip. And the reason why is because against the better teams, against the elite competition, you're going to need somebody else that's going to draw a double that can help free up a Kyle or help free up, you know, somebody else. And he obviously attracts that. But I think as far as the Raptors' approach to not having DeMar, you know, it really starts with Dwayne. And Coach Casey, you know, has this saying, humble and hungry. And it truly resonates with this group. If you notice, whether they lose, you know, to Dallas or whether they lose to the Lakers, you know, he's not ranting and raving. It's the same message. And then all of a sudden they win like they did last night, and it's the same message. And the message is, hey, we got to get better on the glass. We need to, you know, have a rim protector. We need to, you know, have better rim protection. We need to, you know, get out and go a little bit. We need to move the ball. It's all the same message. And I think that because, you know, he's had that steady hand, I think that, you know, obviously gets carried over by the players. And then he's also of the mindset of, you know, next man up. You know, okay, you know, we don't have DeMar, but you're professional. We're all professionals. You know, we got to go out there and do a job, whether we have DeMar or don't have DeMar. And, of course, we would all like to have DeMar. So I just really think that he's done a masterful job, you know, through the first 26 games of the season.
I said it a couple times in the last few days. He's done a masterful job. The entire coaching staff has done a masterful job of managing minutes and having two units. It's three or four units because they mix and match so much. Yeah. You know, they have an incredible ability to put guys together at times during the game when they're needed, whether they're running a, you know, pick and roll, which they don't run as much, a screen and roll. Guys, they, you know, the rock and roll, whatever you want to call it. This team is just they're very hard to categorize, and I think they're very hard to play against because you can't pigeonhole them into playing any type of game. If there's any one weakness, offensive rebounds maybe be the weakness, but this team is very hard to pick apart because I don't think you can define them by one type of basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly the case. You know, I think it was great to see Gravis Vasquez last night kind of get back on track because he had been scuffling. But Landry Fields is a prime example. You know, Landry Fields, you know, doesn't play and all of a sudden inserted into the starting lineup and is giving you quality minutes, 20, 25 minutes a night. He started the last five games. Now it allows Gravis to go back into his comfort zone, which is the bench, and work with the second unit. And he started to get it going again last night, which was great to see. So, you know, there's different ways. You have Patrick Patterson, the way he can shoot the three. You know, Terrence Ross and his athleticism. And, you know, Jonas Valanciunas at 22. You know, here he is, you know, with a double-double last night, his eighth of the season. Kyle had his eighth. And, you know, Jonas is still a maturing, growing, developing player. And so for him at 22 to be, you know, the man in the middle on a team that's leading the East, it says a lot about him, says a lot about his teammates. And you're right. And I think it starts, you know, look, Kyle has been, Joey, sensational. And he just has a feel for what is appropriate out on the court. When is the time to get it to Jonas? When is the time for himself to take a shot? When is the time, you know, to get Patrick going? So he's just got this sense and feel, and he's kind of been, you know, the conductor, and he's been, you know, outstanding.
Okay. The question I'm going to ask later in the show of listeners, I'm going to ask of you right now.
Yes.
Are the Raptors the favorites to win the East? I know they have the best record. They're 20-6. I get that. Are they the favorites in your mind to win the East? Are they better than Chicago? Are they better than Cleveland? You know, Jabari Parker done for the season in Milwaukee. And again, not that they're a juggernaut, but you know, now they're out of the picture. Miami's a team that is brittle. They're not completely old, but they got a lot of mileage. Brooklyn, it is what it is. They might squeak into the playoffs. Boston, good luck. Have fun. Orlando, good luck. Cleveland and Chicago, in my mind, Atlanta's a surprise. Washington's a good team. They'll be buyers. But are the Raptors the team to beat in the East now?
Well, I'm going to say that there are five teams in the East. And, you know, you have Toronto, you have Cleveland, as we know, Chicago, Washington, and Atlanta. Those are the five. Atlanta's coming on strong. Atlanta's playing great defense. Look at what they did last night with Cleveland. And then also they shoot an abundance of threes. And so that's a great equalizer. And, you know, Washington, we have yet to see. And I haven't seen them, you know, live yet. I've watched them on TV, but I think they're a team to certainly contend with. And I think those are the five right now. And so are they the favorites? Well, they're 20-6, and there's still plenty of games left to be played. There's still this West Coast trip to be played. DeMar's out. DeMar needs to, you know, come back. And so I'm not going to go out front and say, oh, yeah, they're the team to beat. And they're, because I think that these five teams, any one of these five, could ultimately win the Eastern Conference during the course of the regular season. But do I believe that the Toronto Raptors are in that mix? Yes. Do I believe that they're a team that can get to the second round, you know, of the NBA playoffs? Absolutely. Health is always, you know, imperative. Well, guess what? They're now dealing, you know, the last nine games without DeMar DeRozan, and they're handling it well. But how do they handle Chicago on Monday on the second night of a back-to-back? You know, how are they going to handle Cleveland the next go-around? How are they going to handle Washington when we see them again? They're 2-0 against Atlanta, and let's see what happens there, you know, in late February when they see them again. So I'm not ready yet to anoint them, but I tell you what, they're certainly building a case, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And look, Atlanta handed it to Cleveland last night, beating them by 29 points, and If you look at the Raptors compared to the way some of these Eastern Conference teams play, and I won't say that they play the Western Conference in the NBA is superior. Not the chasm isn't quite as great as it was last year. I think the chasm has been closed a little bit, and we heard Mark Cuban talking about how maybe they should mix some teams up and move some from the West to the East, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think it's as much of an issue this year. Cleveland is the team that, in my mind, and we remember what happened when LeBron went to Miami. It didn't work right away. It took a minute. And LeBron has to be one of the most polite superstars in the history of sports, right? Because he doesn't want to step on anybody's toes, right? He wants to make, you know, the team, you know, I'm not the guy taking all the shots. He wants Dion Waiters going to get involved. Like, he wants to keep everybody happy. And I don't know that, you know, Kyrie Irving is mature enough, or, you know, they've got a lot of guys who want the ball, whether it's Sean Marion or you know, Dion Waiters, or, you know, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love. I think Cleveland is going to gel, and they're going to gel heavy in the second half of this season. I don't see how that doesn't happen.
Well, I think, look, they have the best player, okay? And now, you know, I think what they've been doing with playing Kyrie off of the ball and having LeBron handle the point very much like what he did in Miami with Dwayne Wade, I think is working. And, you know, everybody appears to be settling into their roles. You know, nights like last night, they happen along the way. And I'm not certain that they're not going to add some pieces as well along the way. So they're a strong team. Why? Because they have the best player in the world. And certainly they were impressive the last couple of times that the Raptors have played them. And I thought that early on this season, they weren't using Tristan Thompson. And I thought that was a detriment to the team. And now they're starting to find ways to use him. He's coming off of the bench, and he's a young, athletic big that I really like and has a huge upside. And, you know, now he's being incorporated into the game. And against the Raptors, he had some huge offensive rebounds late in that game. He had six in the fourth quarter alone. And so he, to me, is an integral part to what they do on the glass. I know Varejao is extremely athletic and active, but he's also at the stage of his career where he's not going to be able to give you 35 minutes every night, or 30 minutes for that matter. And so Tristan kind of takes that over. And you have Kevin Love learning how to operate, taking six less shots. He goes from 18, Joey, down to 12. And so that takes time. But, you know, clearly I think they figured it out despite the fact you know, that they lost, you know, last night by that number.
And as we said, the Raptors have their work cut out for them heading into January, playing some good teams, but again, playing some patsies. Got to make hay while the sun shines. And appreciate you doing this as always, Matt Double _ Devlin on Twitter. Your time, I know, is very valuable. It's the holiday season. You're busy. You're in. You're out. Just keeping your wardrobe together has to be a challenge.
It's very difficult. In fact, you know, going out. What are we leaving for, like a 10, 12-day trip? I mean, I think I'm going to have to travel with, like, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to have, like, five bags or something like that.
So hold on a second here. Let's get the mindset. I want to give the listeners the inside, the Matt Devlin night before leaving for the extended road trip. What's the mix and match? How many ties? How many suits, blazers, shirts? You've got a lot of decisions to make.
A lot of decisions to make, and this is how I pack. And this is no joke. I go into my closet and I just start grabbing stuff, and I literally will, okay, if I got five games, let's say I bring four suits, and then I don't even make decisions anymore. I just bring globs of stuff, and then once I get to the place, I'll make a decision.
Okay,
I don't even match anything up typically before I go. I just kind of go into the closet and just like grab, you know, all right, 10 ties, and I'll grab some shirts, and then I'll make a decision once I get there.
So you're a risky.
I'm impromptu. You know,
you're dancing on the precipice of fashion disaster.
I'm willing to go there, Joey. You know why? Because as you well know, when you travel all the time, it's like after a while, it's like, okay, I don't want to spend any time doing this. I'm just going to throw stuff in the bag and hopefully on the other side. Like we were just in New York. You know, I got to the other side and guess what happened? I didn't have a belt. I didn't have a this. I didn't have a that. And so, you know, you make do. You make a couple of phone calls. I call my brother and say, hey, man, bring a belt to the game. I need one, you know?
Wait a second. Was your brother in New York?
Oh, yeah. He lives there.
Oh, okay. Now you're cheating. You've got in-city alternatives. Exactly. Do you ever have to buy anything on the road?
There's been a couple of times for sure. Yeah.
Matt? Yeah. I hope you enjoy your Christmas and your New Year. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, am I going to see you out in L.A.? You going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy.
I definitely will be there.
Knowing you, you'll be courtside.
Yeah, no. I might be in court, but I won't be courtside. So.
All right, bud.